A Month of Sundays, written by John Owens, narrated by John Delano Ziegler, Jr. Week 1. Monday. If John O'Driscoll had been asked whether there was any way in which a week that had begun with him vomiting into a nun's handbag could finish on an even more disastrous note, he would have laughed the idea off as ludicrous. He would, however, have been wrong, and the fact that his failure to predict the future would come as less of a surprise to those who knew him than it did to him said much for the esteem in which O'Driscoll's abilities were generally held. For John O'Driscoll was often wrong. In fact, there were those who said that he had made it his life's work to be wrong about pretty much everything. To begin at the beginning, though, the accident involving Sister Bernadette's bag and his own bodily fluids happened at the end of an evening that had begun with Duffy's suggestion of a quiet pint, and on that basis alone, O'Driscoll should have known it would end in tears. "Come on, just a quickie," Duffy had insisted, deaf to his friend's plea that he had already agreed to spend the evening helping organize a social evening for the old people of the parish. Against all better judgment, O'Driscoll had agreed, and in no time the two young men were established comfortably in the back bar of the North Star on Ealing Broadway, with several hours of a warm spring evening at their disposal. When O'Driscoll looked up and saw his friend returning from the bar holding tumblers of whiskey, a series of tiny alarm bells began to ring in his head, and had he heeded their warning chimes, the evening might have turned out very differently. But in the conviviality of the moment, the protest he made was but a token one, and his doom was sealed. "Jesus Christ, are you trying to ruin me altogether?" he said when he saw the glasses arriving. "Yes," Duffy replied simply. "Anyway, you might thank me for it tomorrow, if it finally helps you pluck up the courage to speak to Karen Black. Tell you what, I'll come with you and help you set up, and I'll have a little chat with her for you." "No, you bloody well won't," said O'Driscoll, for even though beguiling images of Miss Black filled his every waking moment, the thought of a drink-inflamed Duffy being let loose anywhere near her was a prospect too awful to contemplate. And so it was that several whiskies and several chasers later, the two arrived at the church hall of St. Catherine's in time to help make preparations for the dance, which was due to start at 9 o'clock. An evening spent with a room full of amorous octogenarians was not the entertainment that O'Driscoll would normally have sought out on a Monday night, but, not for the first time, he had failed to take evasive action when the call for volunteers had gone out. There was also the little matter of his teaching contract being up for renewal, and he was hopeful that an unassuming yet poised performance at tonight's event would stand him in good stead when the school's governing body met in a few weeks' time to decide the following year's staffing. At the gates to the church, O'Driscoll stopped to take stock of the situation and consider the range of strategies that he had devised over the course of his 29 years to foster the illusion of sobriety. That these devices rarely extended beyond the expedient of putting a half pack of mints sideways into his mouth, and that, although he himself fondly imagined them to be worldly and subtle, they invariably fooled no one was neither here nor there, for the sense of being master of one's own destiny, implicit in such acts, helped O'Driscoll feel sober, and that was the important thing. Now he straightened his tie, cleared his throat, burped softly, and then spluttered as an unexpected jet of carbonated air raced through his nostrils. He felt in his pocket for a packet of extra-strong mints, broke it in two, and offered one half to his friend, secure in the knowledge that through this cunning act of deception, their drunkenness would shortly be enveloped in a menthol-infused cloak of invisibility. At the bottom of the steps that led into the dank and forbidding church grounds, there was a small stream, and they crossed it with the feeling of unease that ancient travelers might have experienced.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?